Well, I wanted to have tonight to come in a special friend. I actually met him for the first time tonight. You say, well, how can he be a special friend if you haven't met him before tonight? I've heard him online a good many times, and then one of my dearest friends works for him, and so Brother Mark Leone and I both served in a church in Iowa. He worked for his father-in-law. I just worked for his father-in-law as well, and so we got to know each other very well, and then the Lord has kept us connected over all these years. That was 25 years ago, I guess, but the Lord's kept Brother Mark Leone and I connected. Well, lo and behold, Brother Mark went on staff here at Woodland Baptist Church down the Winston-Salem area, and Brother Tim Gammons is the pastor there. Now, I was trying to get some information about Brother Gammons, and so I went online and I saw some messages that he preached, and he preached this message or preached at this church in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and I think he's from that area originally, right? And so he was bragging on this church, and he said, you all have done a great job. I see you down by the streets, and you've got signs up, you know, turn to Jesus. And then they also must have been protesting some liquor and some establishments that were coming in, bringing alcohol where it wasn't before. And then he made this next statement. He said, I'm all for that. And so I was trying to figure out the rest of that message. And I was listening. Was he all for the liquor that they were protesting? Or was he all for this church that was there protesting? But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he was saying, you all are doing a good job. You're holding those signs out there. You're protesting this and this and this. And I'm all for that. I think he meant I'm all for the protesting, not the liquor. I should have clarified that before we had him come preach. But I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But Brother Tim Gammons, he answered the call to preach when he's 18 years old. And has been serving the Lord in some form or fashion. Trying to serve the Lord and go forward for him since then. He started at Woodland Baptist Church in 1997 in July. And they've got a wonderful church. I have not been there for a service. I've been there off of service times. And a beautiful church, beautiful auditorium. And he's also a favorite around many different places to preach and to be a blessing and revivalist of churches around. And so it's a joy to have Brother Tim Gammons. And so he pastors again the Woodland Baptist Church. And just another little bit of trivia. So he and Brother David Mims are good friends. And Brother David Mims pastors in Denver, North Carolina, which is also Anna Snyder's dad. So Brother Gammons is a good friend locked in there with another good preacher over in Denver, North Carolina. And so Brother Mims, you know that Anna's our youth director's wife, and so we thank God for them. So with all that being said, I thank you for being here tonight. And the young people came up and joined us. The Patch Kids are still out in their departments, but the youth, the Ridge Point is up here, and we're thankful for them being here. So Brother Gammons, would you come and preach to us? We're certainly glad you made your way over from Winston-Salem area, and trust that you'll just find yourself right at home and preach to us whatever the Lord has put on you. We're thankful to the Lord for you being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let's open our Bibles tonight, please, if you will, to the book of Acts in the New Testament, Acts chapter 12. I have an old Scofield Bible. If you do, that's page number 1165. And I'll read some verses here in a moment. I'll ask if you will to leave your Bibles open. And I'd like to kind of work my way through this chapter just a little bit tonight and share a thought with you from the Word of God. It is a joy to be here. I live in Fancy Gap, Virginia, which is exactly 2 hours from here. And so the lady got it right. I was telling the preacher a moment ago when she told me to turn down the street, and she said, arrived. And I looked, and there was a church there. It says, come as you are. And I told myself, this cannot be. And then I turned the corner, and here's your church here. And understand it's the oldest church in the state of Tennessee, but it sure don't look old. Y'all have done a great job of preserving this building. And I'm kidding, of course. This is a beautiful place, and I'm delighted to be with you tonight. And I do appreciate your pastor and Brother Mark Leone, our assistant pastor, and I kind of keep up with what's going on here through Brother Mark. Brother Mark's one of, if not the best hire that I've ever made at our church. If I had a couple of more of him, I probably wouldn't have as many wrinkles in my brow, as many gray hairs on my head, if I had two or three of those Mark Leones. He is a great asset to me personally, to our church. And he thinks very highly of your pastor. I promise you that. And it's a joy to be here. Good night over here, Seth Sam. Didn't even know she. I guess I just didn't make that connection. And Brother David probably has told me several times where she's at. But it's a joy to be with y'all and to be able to meet you, meet your pastor, and fellowship with you. in this night of service. I'm actually glad, man. We're up preaching now already. Normally I go somewhere to preach. They'll have 30, 45 minutes worth of singing and then have preaching. So, man, I'm going to make it home early tonight, earlier than I thought I was going to get home. And that's a real blessing. And but I'm glad to be here. And again, what a beautiful place. And I thank God for your great witness in this area. I heard the story about this boy, this man that had lost his job. Lost his job, and he goes out, and he's very dejected, very discouraged about things. And so he walks by the First Baptist Church in this town, and they're advertising on the sign that they're looking for a janitor, a maintenance man, their church. So he thinks to himself, man, you know, I got nothing better. I'm going to go in here and see if I can become a maintenance man here at the First Baptist Church. So he walks in, and secretary greets him, and she said, can I help you? And he said, yes, ma'am. He said, I'm here to inquire about the position that you have opening for a maintenance man. I'm looking for a job. I'd be interested in that. And so she said, well, sir, we're glad you come by. She said, we'll be glad to take your resume. She said, in fact, if you'll, and she just turned the paper around, if you'll just fill this questionnaire out and sign it, we'll look over it and maybe get back to you. He said, oh, ma'am, I hate to tell you this. He said, I can't read nor write. She said, you can't read nor write. She said, you can't be the maintenance man here at the First Baptist Church. Well, he walked out. He's very dejected and downhearted. And he had a dime in his pocket and looked across the street, and there was a guy over there selling apples for 5 cents apiece. He took the last dime he had in his pocket, walked over there, bought two apples. And he ate one, and he thought to himself, I wonder if I could sell apples. And he sold an apple, and he made a dime off the one apple. Went back, bought two more apples, and he started selling apples just like that until he became a millionaire. A millionaire. Kept all of his money in grocery bags and decided one day, you know, I ought to do something with this money. So he walked downtown to the First National Bank, walked in, set all them sacks up on the counter, and the teller said, can I help you? He said, yes, ma'am. I'm here to put all this money in your bank, if I've counted it right, about $1 million here. She said, $1 million. She said, if you'll just fill this card out, we'll be glad to help you with your money. He said, ma'am, I hate to tell you this. I can't read nor write. She said, you can't read nor write and you're a millionaire? She said, what would you be if you could read or write? He said, janitor down there at that First Baptist Church. Well, it's okay to laugh, isn't it? It's Brother Mark. Brother Mark loves for me to tell this joke. And he says his favorite joke that I tell. And it's about this old boy, and he died. I don't know why we always say this. He dies, and he goes to heaven, and St. Peter meets him. I don't know why we always say that. But this man died, went to heaven. And St. Peter met him at the gate and said, would you like to go in? He said, yes, sir, I sure would. He said, well, why should I let you in? And the guy swallowed a little hard and said, well, he said, I tried to do the best I could back down there on the earth. St. Peter said, well, give me an example. He said, well, he said, for example, the other day, he said, I walked in this restaurant. I didn't know this, but there were 32 Hell's Angels in there. And he said, I just walked in, sat down. He said, I noticed when I got there, the atmosphere was kind of real tenuous. And he said, I sat down, and sure enough, he said, man, them Hell's Angels were up picking on people. And he said, I happened to notice they were picking on this one little old lady. He said, they had knives and ball bats. And people were just scared to death. And the leader of the Hell's Angels was picking on this little old lady. And he said, I just took it. I had enough of it. He said, I just walked in there, walked up, grabbed that guy by the shoulder, spun him around, and punched him right in the mouth. And he said, now you and the rest of y'all need to get out of here. St. Peter said, that is an amazing story. When did that happen? He said, about 2 minutes ago. It's okay to laugh, isn't it? Merry heart doeth good laugh. If some of y'all ain't laughing, I got hundreds of these jokes that I could tell. And if y'all would like to get out of here on time tonight, you'd kind of go along with me, I think. Anyway, I'm glad you're here, and it's good to be here myself. Can I read Acts chapter 12? And I think if I heard right, the emphasis during this month of meetings, if I got it right, is on the subject of prayer. Preacher, am I right about that? So he said, I'm not trying to be the Holy Spirit. The preacher did, but he said, if the Lord leads you, preach on prayer. And so I'm going to preach a little bit about prayer tonight from the Gospel of from the book of Acts, chapter 12. And if I could, just for the sake of time, I'd like to read verse 5. Ask you, if you will, to leave your Bibles open and follow me along. Verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. It's a sad day for Peter. Peter's in jail. If you'll read the verses prior to this, James, who many think was the first pastor of the First Baptist Church in the city of Jerusalem, has been killed. Herod is an Edomite. The Edomites were the first cousins of the nation of Israel. You may remember Isaac had two boys, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the father of the Edomites. They were first cousins to the nation of Israel, but they never got along. We have a book in our Old Testament called the book of, the book of Obadiah. Obadiah has only one chapter, and that whole book is about God getting back at the Edomites because the Edomites hated the nation of Israel. They laughed when they were carried off into captivity. There's a whole book in our Bible about God settling the score and pouring out his judgment on the Edomites. The Edomites hated the people of God. Herod was an Edomite. This is the grandson of the Herod that tried to kill Jesus when he was born. Man, the Bible said that he stretched forth his hand, verse number one, to vex certain of the church. He took James, had old James killed, arrested Peter, and was going to have Peter killed. So he's in prison. The Bible said there in verse number five, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer, here's the emphasis now, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The whole turning point of the story is when the church started praying. And could I, for just a few minutes tonight, preach on this thought, the power of a praying church. The power of a praying church. Let's pray. Father, bless your word tonight. Thank you for the good music. Appreciate that good song a minute ago, Living by Faith. God, thank you for that song. And God, thank you for fellowship. Thank you for worship. Help us tonight as we sit here on this Wednesday night. One thing I know about these folks here, they wouldn't be here if they didn't love you on a cloudy, drizzly, foggy Wednesday night. Thank you for this good crowd. Thank you for the pastor and the emphasis on prayer in these days. God, would you help us? Bless your word. Speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer, the power of a praying church. We have a great illustration here in our Bible of what can happen when a church binds together in prayer. It was lights out for old Peter, for old James. He's dead. He's gone. He was beheaded by Herod. And it looks like the same thing is going to happen to old Peter until verse number five, the church got together and started praying. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. If you move through the opening chapters of the book of Acts, it seems like that Peter is one of the primary players, and others are mentioned, but Peter is the emphasis, the primary player in the days of the early church through the opening chapters of the book of Acts. And then, of course, in Acts chapter 9, in my estimation, one of the greatest events in our New Testament happens when old Saul of Tarsus gets saved. And beginning in Acts 13 and going through the rest of the book of Acts, Peter kind of fades off the scene and Paul becomes the main player in the days of the church. And yet right before the spotlight goes dim on the life of Peter, we have this one illustration of him in jail and the church getting together and praying for him. It's for certain lights out. The death certificate has probably already been signed. And as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, Peter is going to be killed as well. But the Bible said the church got together and started praying for him. You know, there's really no power much in a politicking church, and not a lot of power in a pretending church. But you know, there is some power in a praying church. I think maybe one of the reasons the devil tries to get us so caught up in so many other things and so distracted is because he understands that there's power in a praying church. You know, I appreciate the emphasis on preaching. I am a preacher, and I sure appreciate the emphasis on preaching. I like the singing. Thank y'all for singing for us tonight. Told the preacher that Living by Faith song, that's my fishing song. If the fish ain't biting, I start singing that song, and the fish start biting. I appreciate the emphasis of the living by faith, the fellowship, appreciate all that. But I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing we can do as a church when we get together is go to God in prayer. There is power in a praying church. You know, I think we say this sometimes as a cliche. I'm sure it's probably been said over these Wednesday night, the emphasis on prayer. But the cliche, the thing we used to say a whole lot is this: God answers prayer. And we say that, and we mean that, but sometimes I think we say it as just a cliche. God answers prayers. I heard about this old preacher one time, and he was wanting a pet. And he lived in the neighborhood. The house was kind of close. So he knew a dog was out of the question and probably bark a lot. And cats would probably get on, walk on people's cars, track the cars up. So he goes to the pet shop and he says to the owner of the pet shop, he said, I need a pet, but don't need a large pet. And he said, I need something, probably stay inside, but don't take a lot of care of it. He said, have you ever considered a parrot? And the preacher said, you know, I never have. He said, man, they're a lot of fun. You teach them how to talk. And so he said, by the way, we just happen to have one. He said, if you'd like to take a look at it. And the preacher did, saw it. He said, they're a lot of companion, a lot of fun. Teach them how to talk. Preacher bought the parrot and carried it home. Started trying to work with that thing, trying to teach that bird how to talk. But all that bird would ever say is, let's pray. That's all that bird would ever say. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Preacher finally just got, upset with it, frustrated with it, and just left it. Just quit having anything to do with it. Every day when they take the cover off, that old bird would say, let's pray. Every night when they put the cover back on, that bird would say, let's pray. Every time somebody walked through the house, that bird would say, let's pray. And he finally just got frustrated and said, just forget it. Well, there was a visitor, a family that came visiting his church one day and filled out a visitor's card. So the next week, he made his way over there to visit the family. And they invited him in. He sat on the couch, and there was something behind him. When he sat down, something behind him said, let's kiss. Let's kiss. And he turned around and looked, and they said, oh, preacher, we're so embarrassed. And we bought that dumb bird. It's going to teach him how to talk. And that's all that bird will ever say is, let's kiss, let's kiss. You know, the preacher said I had the same problem. I bought a bird like that as well, and I can't get my bird the same thing. But let's pray. He said, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't you bring your bird over to my house? We'll put it in the cage with my bird, and maybe the birds together will teach each other how to talk. Oh, he said, that's a great idea. They showed up the next day, slid their bird in the perch there with the preacher's bird, and their bird looked over preacher's bird and said, let's kiss, let's kiss. Preacher's bird looked back at that bird and said, glory to God, my prayers have now been answered. You know, we say that a lot. God answers prayer. But aren't you glad that God does answer prayer? Aren't you so thankful? Y'all getting ready to have these big days, family days, and revival meeting, and special emphasis in Easter, and all that's going on with all that. Man, I want to tell you, I'd love to see people get saved. I'd love to see people get baptized, join the church, ride the church buses in. Thank God for all that. But I'm going to tell you, the start of all that is when the church gets together and prays. Because when we look in our text tonight, we find there are three things that happens when the church begins to pray. See if you don't agree with this. Look in this text tonight. Three things that happens when the church prays. Let me say number one as we look at this text tonight. Number one, that when the church prays, number one, loved ones get saved. Loved ones, or I could say it like this, lost ones get saved when the church begins to pray. Now, I use as an illustration of this tonight, look there at verse number 6, I'm using Simon Peter to illustrate this point. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. You're probably thinking, you know something, preacher? Peter's already saved. And I get that. I know Peter got saved back in John chapter 1 when his brother Andrew brought him to Jesus. Hey, Peter, we found the Messiah, brought him to Jesus. I think Peter got saved in John chapter 1. Matthew chapter 4, sometime later, they're in the boats washing their nets. Jesus said, Peter, come on, follow me. I get all that. I know in our text, Peter is already saved. By now, Peter's preaching. He's got over his cussing spell. And he's preaching. I get all that. But in our story tonight, in verse number 6, Peter is really a great type of a lost person in this story tonight. Look at some of the things that said about Peter in verse number 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, first of all, the same night. Make a note of that, the same night. Second of all, he was sleeping between two soldiers. Third of all, he was bound with two chains. And fourth of all, the keepers, the Bible said there, the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, we learn a lot just from that statement. You'll have to agree with me, I think, that the same condition that Peter was in that night in that jail before the church started praying is the same condition that lost men, women, boys, and girls are in when they're without Jesus. Lost ones get saved when the church begins to pray. Let me show it to you. Look at verse 6. First of all, we notice, number one, that Peter was in darkness. He was in darkness. Look at verse number 6. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night. So number one, we come to understand Peter's in jail and he's in darkness. He was in darkness. Notice number two, that he was detained. He was in detention. Look at verse number 6. He was sleeping between two soldiers. He was detained. He was being defended. Those soldiers were there for one purpose only, and that was to see to it that Peter didn't get out of the shackles that he was in. And that leads me, number three, to say this. He was detained. He was wrapped up in chains. So says the Bible. Now stop. Think with me about that. That's the condition of lost people tonight. Lost people, number one, are in darkness. You know why lost people don't enjoy the same kind of music that we enjoy in our church? Because they're lost. They're in darkness. You know why it's so hard to get your loved ones to come to church? They don't understand their need for Jesus. They're in darkness. There's a verse in our Bible that says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. You know what's wrong with lost people? They're in darkness tonight. Hey, listen, they're on their way to hell. They'll die without Jesus and go to hell. You know why? Because they are in spiritual darkness. We may be living in an enlightened technological age. Thank God for the advances and the strides that we've made in medicine, and thank God for people that are being kept alive that 15, 20, 30 years ago would have died. We're living in an enlightened age when it comes to technology and medicine. Thank God for all that. But can I tell you something? It's still as dark as midnight when it comes to anything spiritual. If you don't believe that, look at America tonight. We are in darkness tonight. Can I have an amen? Yes, sir. Now look, if I got to stop and do my own amen, and we're going to be here a long time, and I'm going to have a big love offering if I got to preach and amen my own sermons. Can I have an amen? Let's practice it one time. Can I have an amen? Amen. Thank you. Y'all just cut the love offering in half. What I'm trying to say tonight is this, man. Our world, just like Peter, your lost loved ones may be good moral people, and hope they are. But the truth of the matter is good moral people are in spiritual darkness, just like the hell's angels and the dope addicts and the prostitutes and the drugs. They're in the same spiritual darkness. Old Peter was in darkness. Number two. Not only was he in darkness, but old Peter was detained. Look again there at verse number 6, and it says he was bound with two chains. Now, in our Bible, sin is depicted in two ways. Sometimes in the Bible, sin is depicted as a stain. That's the reason we read in Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, that deep-seated scarlet color, though they be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white like wool. Sin is like a stain, man. And there is no detergent. All Tide, Gain, whatever you might want to use, can never lift out the stain of sin. By the way, aren't you glad there is a divine detergent called the blood of Jesus Christ? And the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't cleanse from just 80% of sin or 90% of sin, or bless your heart, 99.9% of sin. But the Bible said the blood of Jesus cleanseth from all sin. Thank God for the divine detergent that can lift out the stain of sin. But you know, more often than not, in the Bible, sin is not only depicted as a stain, it's depicted as a chain, bondage. How many people do you know tonight they're in bondage? Bondage to pornography. Bondage to alcohol, bondage to drugs, meth, cocaine. They're in bondage to gambling. They're in bondage to this or that. You know why? Because sin is like a chain, and it puts us into bondage. You know, isn't the devil amazing? Isn't he crafty at how he convinces us that if you live a Christian life, you're in bondage, but if you're lost and out in the world, it's a life of great freedom. Isn't he a master at deception? He convinces us sitting in the church to look out our stained glass windows at a world that we're convinced is having more fun than we are. But wait a minute, they're on their way to hell. We're on our way to heaven. Tell me who ought to be having more fun. Yeah. But sin is like a stain, and it's like a chain. It wraps itself around us. And look at me, friend. There's no way on your own, in your own human ability and ingenuity, that you can get free from the chain of sin. Can't do it. No, sir. You see, Peter is not only in darkness. He's being detained. And then look again at verse 6. He's being defended. Why? The Bible said there in verse number 6, there were two soldiers, and their whole intent was to keep Peter from getting loose. I can't prove what I'm about to say, but I think I'm close to it. If your preacher preaches something else, he's your pastor, believe him. But can I tell you what I personally believe? I believe just like God has angels to encamp around about those of us who fear him, Psalms 34, I believe the devil has demons encamped around about those who don't fear God that are lost, whose whole idea is to keep those people from getting saved. I believe just like you and I have angels that watches over us to keep us and protect us. And by the way, thank God for angels. More than that, I thank God for the hand of God, don't you? But I wonder if there are demons that are encamped around about those who don't fear God, whose whole purpose is to keep them from coming to Jesus and being saved. We do know that story in Matthew 13 where Jesus told about the man that went out and began to sow seed, and before the seed could hit the ground and germinate, the fowls of the air came and devoured it. I wonder, maybe as we sit in this auditorium, and I don't know if anybody's here lost on this Wednesday night. If you are, thank you for being here. But I just want to tell you something tonight. There's a spiritual warfare going on in this room tonight. I don't mean to be spooky, but I believe if God pulled back the veil tonight, we looked around, we'd see angels encamped around about this place. But I also believe that demons meet together when we meet together as God's people, whose whole purpose is to stop the spread of the gospel. When the gospel seed is being sown by your pastor, those demons and devils are there to catch away that seed before it can fall on good soil and produce fruit unto life everlasting. And here's old Peter, and he's got these two men around him, and their whole purpose is to keep him in chain. Their whole purpose is to keep him in darkness. And by the way, can I say this? Not only is he in darkness, not only is he detained, not only is he defended, but he's also dead. I mean, as sure as the sun comes up in the morning, Peter is going to die. Does that not sound like lost people? Dead, and you hath he quickened, who were dead. Do you realize when you were born in this world, you were born DOA? Dead on arrival. I know we're alive physically, but buddy, we're dead spiritually, and Peter is dead. And yet, in that condition, now watch that, darkness, detention, defended, and death. What's the church going to do? Well, let me tell you what they could have done. They could have maybe got a gang together like we see in our day, these gangs, and got a bunch of ball bats and went down there and attacked the jail. But can I tell you something? Those feeble disciples are no match for them Roman soldiers. So that's off. Scratch that one off. Maybe they could have hired a lawyer and got an injunction to stay the execution of Peter. But I don't think they got enough money to do that. Maybe they could have done what many people do in our day, go bribe a politician. Can I have an amen? Go bribe a politician. Get some lobbyists to go and twist the arm of a politician and make some promises or whatever, but that wasn't going to work either. They had very little influence among this crowd. So what did they do? The only thing they could do, they began to pray. And buddy, let me tell you something. When they began to pray, business picked up in the jail. Can I have an amen? You say, preacher, what happened? Look at verse 7. I love this verse. The Bible said, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison, smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. His chains fell from off his hand. The angel said, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto them, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Let me show you. For death, watch this, he got life. For darkness, guess what? He got light. For detention, guess this, he got liberty. All of that happened. Buddy, he was dead. And the next moment, the angel said, hey, come on, follow me. He's alive now. He was detained. And yet the Bible said the chains fell off of him. There he was with those soldiers. But the angel smote the soldiers and they went into a deep sleep. Watch this now. He was all at once free. For darkness, he got life. For deadness, he got life. For detention, he got liberty. You know how that happened? I'll tell you how it happened. The church got together and started praying. And if it worked in this day, ladies and gentlemen, I read in my Bible that God doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Malachi 1 says, I'm God. I'm the Lord God. I change not. If God doesn't change, and he did it back then, bless your heart, he can still do it today. When the church prays. Number one, loved ones get saved. Lost ones get saved when the church prays. All right, I'm coming in for a landing now. I got two more points. Number one, loved ones get saved. Anybody got a loved one that's unsaved? Anybody work around a bunch of lost people? Probably we all do. Anybody live on your streets lost? Wait a minute, you got a son or a daughter that's unsaved? You got a mama or a daddy, maybe a wife sitting here with a lost husband? And when you came to church tonight, man, it was hell before you come to church. Can't believe you're going on our Wednesday night. It's raining. You need to stay home. Gun smoke comes on. Andy comes on at 8 o'clock on MeTV, followed by the Beverly Hillbillies at 9 o'clock, followed by, oh, my goodness, the farm guy at 9:30. I love MeTV. Green Acres. Why are you going to church tonight? Why don't you just stay at home? Fussed at you. When you get home, going to fuss at you again. You know what we need to do? Man, we just need to get on the altar again as a church and pray. Loved ones get saved. Number two, watch this. Little ones get strengthened when the church prays. Now watch this story. I'm wrapping it up. Look what happened. So Peter gets out of jail. Verse 9, he went out. Verse number 10, he was past the first and the second ward. Verse number 11, when Peter was come to himself. I think Peter thought, man, this is the craziest dream I've ever had in my life. But now he's outside. He's come to himself. He said there in verse 11, now I know of a surety the Lord sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Verse 12, when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Notice where the prayer meeting was going on. That's where the church was meeting at, down at John Mark's mama's house, Mary. That's where the church was gathering, praying for Peter. And the word of God said that when Peter came there, in verse 13, he knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel. Did you see that? A damsel, a young lady, a young girl, perhaps 11, 12, maybe early teenager, 13 years old. She came to hearken, verse 13, and her name was Rhoda. And the Bible said when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, now this is the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and the choir leader and the folks that sing the specials and the people who take up the offerings and the bus drivers and the bus captains. They're all down there praying. Their preacher's about, one preacher of theirs already been killed. The next preacher's on the verge of being killed. They're all down there at John Mark's house, mama's house, Mary. They're praying, asking God just to touch the situation to help. Can't you just see this story? I don't know how it must have worked out, but in my vivid imagination, can you see how this worked out? So she hears, watch this now, she hears a knock at the door. She goes to the door. They're probably shut tighter than a tick because they're afraid that's what's happened to James going to happen to them. And she says, who is it? And he said, it's Peter. I can hear her say, now this is in the Greek. Nuh-uh. It ain't Peter. In fact, that's why we're having prayer. Peter's in jail. He said, no, no. That's another Greek word. No, that's a North Carolina word. No, no, it's Peter. I'm here. Please tell everybody I'm here. I got out of jail. I can see her running there and she gets a head deacon. She says, hey, Deacon Jones, you're not going to believe this, but Peter's standing outside the door, knocking on the door. Deacon Jones says, nuh-uh. Isn't it amazing that God answers our prayers sometime when we don't even think he is going to answer them? Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad that our unbelief can't, it can, but it can't stop God from doing what God wants to do? Hey, he's at the door. No, he ain't. You just saw a ghost. It's not him. Maybe she goes on over here to one of the choir members and said, you won't believe this. Deacon Jones, I told him. He said, no, but Peter, I'm telling you, Peter's at the gate. Peter's here. Your prayers have been answered. Uh-uh. It ain't Peter. He ain't there. And then can you just imagine how it strengthened the faith of that little girl when she heard those people in there praying for Peter, and the next thing you know, Peter's knocking at the door. Can you imagine what that did for her? I mean, can I tell you something? Our young people today, they're so skeptical. Watch this. They've seen so many come and so many go. They've seen youth pastors come and go. Not y'all. They've seen preachers fall, deacons mess up, some scandal in the church. They've seen it all. And they're so skeptical about this thing. Can I show you and tell you something that'll change their very mind quicker than anything? It's when they hear an old-fashioned mama or daddy get on their knees on the coffee table and begin to pray for God to send in the needs of the family. And the first thing you know, a knock on the door, and there's what they've been praying about. Buddy, when they hear the church cry out to God for revival and for people to be saved, and the first thing you know, folks are coming and getting saved, and revival fires. I'm telling you, that'll change and light a fire in the young people quicker than anything I know of, to see that it's real. It's not hocus pocus. It's not just some religious ritual, that it's real. Let me tell you something that'll convince them that it's real. Our prayers getting answered will convince this skeptical youth age that we have all around us that God is real and old-time religion still works. Little ones get strengthened. Little ones get strengthened. And I'm done now. But number three, lost ones get saved, loved ones get saved, little ones get strengthened. Last of all, watch this. Lots of ones get stirred. You say, what do you mean? Well, look what happened in this chapter. Look at verse 15. They said unto her, this is the deacons and the other crowd, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed, hey, it's so, Peter. They said, hey. They said, no, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking. When they opened the door, saw him, they were astonished. Wait a minute, 30-second timeout. Why are we so astonished when God answers our prayers? I mean, man, we ought to just say, well, you know, thank God for answered prayer. Give a word of testimony. Hannah wanted a baby, and she finally got a baby, and she called him Samuel, which means heard of God. You know something? I think every once in a while when God answers a prayer of ours, we ought to, and I don't know how y'all do stuff here, and if you don't do this, it's fine. But I think every once in a while, maybe we ought to just interrupt the service and say, preacher, before you preach, can I just say that I got a Samuel this week? Yeah, I've been praying about something, and God answered my prayer. Can I have an amen? Somebody ought to jump up once in a while and say, preacher, Samuel, God heard my prayer. Hey, preacher, this section over here. Hey, preacher, Samuel, God answered my prayer. Middle section, hey, preacher. Or can I say the center section? This is the center. You can't understand my speech because I'm so country. But this is the center section right here. Somebody ought to jump up and say, Samuel, over here. Samuel, up yonder. Somebody ought to jump up once in a while and say, hey. You know, I think if we'd give God more public praise, maybe we'd see more answered prayer. Yeah. So here we go. They finally let him in. And then notice, if you will, at verse number 18. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small, what's the next word? Stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? Lost ones are saved, little ones are strengthened. Lots of ones are stirred when the church starts praying. I don't know how all this worked. Again, I can kind of see it as I read between the lines. They went to get old Peter, and am I going over? Am I okay? They went to get Peter out of jail that morning, and it's time to kill him, time to execute him. He ain't there. They're searching everywhere. Them soldiers are waking up, wiping the boogers out of her eyes, stretching a little bit. So, whew, best night's sleep I ever had in my life. Somebody said, where'd Peter? Peter, he's right here. Peter? Peter! He's gone. All the guards and the prison guards are talking about, hey, what's Peter? And they put out this code, breaker, breaker. Peter. Have y'all seen Peter? Is Peter here? Nope. Look over there in section, in cell block D. Is he there? No. He's gone. One of them soldiers gets his cell phone out. Calls his wife. No. I ain't going to let it off that easy. Gets on Facebook. Post something on Facebook. Hey, you're not going to believe this. Peter was here. Peter's gone. We don't know what's become of Peter. Well, Sister Wigglejaw reads that post on Facebook or that Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is. Hey, she's down at Walmart. She's rolling through there, and she sees Sister Wigglesaw sees Sister Obnoxious, and she says, "Hey, Sister Obnoxious, did you read that post by the guard, prison guards?" And he says, "No." She said, "Man, Peter got out of jail. I don't know what's happened. I mean, like a wildfire, it began to spread everywhere. Peter was here, Peter's gone, and the whole crowd got stirred up. Why? I'm glad you asked." Because the church started praying. I don't know how big Gray, Tennessee is. I've never been here before. It may be big, Kingsport. I preach in Knoxville and Murfreesboro, but I've never been here before. I don't know how big this community is, but I know one thing. If this church starts praying and gets a hold of God, lots of wonders around here could get stirred up. Can I have an amen? That's what happens when the church prays. I read about this service, just like the service that we're in tonight. They were getting ready to have service. And so the song leader got up, and I don't know what, but I'm just going to use 120 in our red book, because that's Victory in Jesus. That's one of our favorite songs to sing. So he stands up and he says, "All right, good to see you in the house of God this morning. Let's begin the service by singing, everyone standing, page number 120. And he looks over at the organist and nods his head, and she puts her hands down on the key, and no sound comes out. Well, she's over there flipping buttons, and I mean trying to get everything ready. And he said, "All right, let's try this one more time. 120, Victory in Jesus. Everybody standing, smiling and singing." And he looks over it again, and again she puts her fingers there, and there's no music that comes out of the organ. Finally, the song director, just embarrassed out of his mind, said, "Well, I tell you what, this morning, let's have a word of prayer." And everybody bowed their head, and while he was praying, the custodian of the church realized earlier that week he had slipped the organ out to clean behind it, and when he pushed it back in, he forgot to plug it in. So as they were praying, he slipped down the side, reached behind the organ, plugged it in, and then laid a little note on the keys so when the organist lifted up her eyes, she would see it. And the little note said this: "After the prayer, the power will be on." After the prayer. Boy, y'all got some big days coming. Family Day, Easter Drive, revival meeting. There's some big days coming. Look at me. After the prayer. Wouldn't it be a sight to get a big crowd in here and the Spirit of God ain't around? Wouldn't that be a sight? Wouldn't it be a sight to get those lost people in here and there ain't enough power in here, ain't enough fire to warm a chigger's feet? Wouldn't it be a sight to get that big old crowd in here, lost people sitting way up yonder, and the choir can't come down because every seat's taken, preachers sitting up here in the chairs, and folks sitting on the steps. And boy, the preacher preaches, and there ain't no power. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We got to have the power, don't we? After the prayer, the power will be on. The power of a praying church. I'm speaking to some Sunday school teachers in here tonight. Boy, you need power in your class. Speaking to some bus captains in here. Boy, you need power on the bus route. Can I have an amen? Speaking to some players in here tonight. I'm talking about the musicians now, not the other kind. Boy, you need power when you play. Speaking to some deacons in here. Boy, we need power, don't we? Oh, preachers. Oh, we need power. But we only get the power after we pray. The power of a praying church. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you tonight for this very simple, very practical, yet very profound text, because we find right here in this chapter, they didn't have money, they didn't have enough manpower to overthrow the prisoners, the soldiers. They didn't have enough money to hire a lawyer. They didn't even have enough money to bribe Herod. They didn't have anything. And yet when they didn't have anything, they had everything because they had prayer. And prayer is what we need in these days as a church, individually, absolutely. But corporately, boy, we need prayer in the church. Jesus, you said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. So I pray tonight, and I'm sure every Wednesday night, folks have been challenged, but I want to pray tonight with these huge days coming up. Probably, no doubt, multitudes of lost people will enter these doors and occupy these pews. Sure would be a sight to get them here and not have any power. And I pray the Spirit of God would so move in these days that people would be saved, homes would be salvaged, addicts would be set free, those that are in bondage, the bondage would be broken, and God's lives would be changed for time as well as eternity. And that can happen as the church prays. Burden our hearts afresh and anew as a church to pray. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed tonight. You want to do this? Me? Okay. Our heads are bowed tonight. Would you stand with me for just a moment all over the building? And we're going to have our musicians to play for us tonight. Maybe you just sense that need in your life to come. Maybe you got a loved one that's lost. Maybe you got a little one in your home and you can just see the skepticism rising in their life. Maybe you're here tonight and you want to see revival in the community of Gray, Tennessee. Hey, can I tell you something? We can have it. But there's a cost. There's a price to be paid. We can't have the power without the prayer. After the prayer, the power will be on. Our heads are bowed. Maybe some teachers want to come down and pray for power in your class. Maybe there's some bus captains. Boy, I tell you what, we sure do need the power of God on our buses, don't we? Oh, brother, we need the power of God on our church buses, in our church buses. Listen, we're never effectively going to be able to do anything for God in the energy and the arm of our flesh. We got to have the power of God, and we only get it as we pray, folks, as we pray.
As you continue to pray, would we put that into practice tonight? And maybe some of you come and join us at the altar tonight and just pray. There's something heavy on your heart. You say, Pastor, I don't have to come to the altar. You don't. You're right. But some of the greatest victories have been had at an old-fashioned altar where you just kind of pushed other things aside and said, I want to go pray. And so this altar is open for you, and we've still got plenty of time. And as she continues to play, would you pray and seek the Lord? Do we really believe what he preached? You think that story really did happen? I believe it did. I believe it all from cover to cover. I believe that story as well. And so truly the Lord heard and answered prayer and did the miraculous work. And how could we stand here and say, yeah, but this is different. Same God, as Brother Gammons mentioned. His ability hasn't waned. He hasn't had anything go out of his reach. Would you take this time to pray? Many people have mentioned Dr. David Gibbs preaching about that mountain-moving faith. Faith and prayer, they're just go right hand in hand. You have faith in God, so it causes you to pray, and you pray in faith, believing. Are you asking God for some things? Are we believing that he can do it? We know that that story that he told is not a story. It's a true account. It happened just like he told it. If that God is able to do that, then our God, that same God, is able to answer prayer tonight. Would you believe him? Would you trust him? Would you seek him in that? As you're in an attitude of prayer there, somebody had Brother Stevens reach out to him, Brother John Stevens, and said, Miss Marilyn Stevens is in the ER And there's just yet another thing that we need to go to prayer about, asking the Lord to strengthen her, bless her, help him as well. But my friend, we're not going to get to heaven and find that we tax God too much with our prayers. We can look this way. We're not going to get to heaven and find that we tax God too much with our prayers, like we really overworked him. You understand, if he's an omnipotent God, a million prayers are just as easy to answer as one prayer. And 1,000 great big old prayers is no harder than one simple little one. We got a wonderful God, don't we? Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. Brother Gammons, thank you for preaching for us. What a joy to have you. And thank you for all of us being involved in this. As I mentioned in that prayer time, do pray for Marilyn Stevens, that the Lord would strengthen her and bless her there in the ER. Continue to pray for Mike Cole. That's that friend of Tim Tipton's. Pray for Bob Daniels down at Johnson City as well. And we've got much, much to pray for. I want to do one thing before we dismiss, and then I'm going to ask Brother Gammons to slip out just a moment to the lobby so you can get by to see him. We've got several folks that Brother Dan Rogers is helping with our Spanish ministry, and it's not a large, large group of them, but we thank God for the growth that's been there. And there's several of them in the Spanish department that have been coming for a long time, were saved, baptized, but just like we had to do here a little while ago about some young people that didn't officially get voted in, we need to vote a few families in. And so Brother Dan's talked with all of them. They're saved. They're baptized. They agree wholeheartedly with the doctrines and the church and the bylaws. And so these families, Jorge and Ira Camarillo, Jeremiah and Evelyn Marias, and then three ladies here, Leslie and Heather and Ashley Pelias Santiago, Guadalupe and Michelle Sosa. There's 9 people there that I just mentioned. And as I said, each of them, Brother Dan has talked with, they saved, baptized, and some of them thought they were members when they got baptized, but we need to officially justify our records and get them back in line. So with that being said, we would need a motion to accept these. Brother Leroy Shepherd makes that motion. Brother Eugene Radford seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Amen. Well, the only other order of business is, since Brother Tim Gammons gave half of his love offering back, we could all go to Dairy Queen or go to the Scoop. Better yet, we go to the Scoop if they're open, or wait till they are. But we had a joy to have Brother Gammons here. And some of you got to meet Brother Mark Leone. He came and preached for us to a pastor's fellowship. And so there was a few of you mixed in. But he is a dear friend, and he's just a wonderful Christian. I don't know of a better. I agree with what Brother Gammon said about him. I don't know of a better soldier for the Lord, and he's a wonderful friend. And so we'll get him over here as well sometime if his boss would ever give him a service off. Do you think we could talk about that sometime? Or no? Apparently not. I'll tell Mark no. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gammons. Would you mind slipping back to the, Daniel, would you mind walking him back there and to the lobby, and maybe you get by and let him know that you're praying for him? He'll have to head out here in just a little bit. He's going to drive back. He's not one of these older preachers that need somewhere to stay. He's a young preacher boy. He's just going to drive back after service tonight. So keep him in prayer as he goes, and then greet him though on your way. God bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight. You're dismissed.